I know a lot of you have been hearing some of the, I don't want to say tidbits, so maybe I'll say principles instead, that I've been sharing with regards to parenting from Amy Morin's book, where she talked about 13 things that mentally strong parents don't do. So I thought I would go ahead and bring back the full conversation that I had with the source herself. So here again is the powerful, powerful conversation I had with Amy Morin on developing our parent-child connection and 13 things that mentally strong parents don't do. Don't worry, the do's are going to be in there too. Check this out. Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am the man who is so glad that you all are with me today. As you know, this is a program where we really believe in building the individual, building the family, building community. But today the focus is going to be on the family, building the family. And our expert, best-selling author, very engaging, motivating speaker, licensed clinical social worker and psychotherapist, Amy Morin is our guest. She is best-selling author of 13 Things That Mentally Strong People Don't Do. She also has a book out entitled 13 Things That Mentally Strong Parents Don't Do. So for all of you out there who are saying, hey, you know, when it comes to this parenting thing, you just kind of wing it, because there are no books or manuals out there to help you with that. Not true. Here's another one. It's a great one. We're going to be talking from it. So I want you to make sure you have your ears on and be ready to take your notes, especially the notes that have to do with how to get the book when we get there. But in the meantime, Miss Amy Morin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Happy September 1st.
Yes, you as well.
We are moving into the close of the year already, I tell you, which is amazing. But I really want to thank you again for having agreed to join me to talk with us about two related critical topics and having to do with the mind. One of the things that you talk about, Amy, is the fact that we can build our minds just as well as we can build any other muscle in our bodies. But before we get there, just so that the listeners of the Speaking With community can get to know you better, would you tell us more about Amy Morin? Give us an idea of what life was like for you coming up as a child and
sure.
the things that, you know, eventually led you into the mental health field.
Sure. I grew up in rural Maine and really thought I was going to be a doctor. That was my plan in life. And then early on in college, in fact, about the first day of college, we started dissecting cats. And I realized everybody else in the class was really excited to get in there and start dissecting things. And I thought, you know, this isn't for me. I'm not particularly excited about it. And decided that I still wanted to go into a helping profession, but the body wasn't where it was at. I wanted to start helping people with the mind. So I switched my major and decided to become a clinical social worker so that I could help people deal with, you know, problems from the neck up rather than the neck down. And became a psychotherapist and said, you know, let's do this. Let's figure out how can I help people solve problems and deal with issues like depression and anxiety. But I just really wanted to figure out how do I help people live their best lives. And over the course of my career, I've taken a few left-hand turns and where I thought I was headed. I thought I was going to be a psychotherapist in a private setting, but ended up working in a few different mental health centers. And then when I was 23, my mother had passed away, and that sort of is when my journey with mental strength became personal. I thought, okay, I really want to figure out how do I become a mentally stronger person rather than just helping other people become mentally strong. I'm going to figure out how do I apply these tools and skills to my own life. And then when I was 26, my 26-year-old husband passed away, and found myself widowed. And I thought, oh, now how do I move forward? How do I keep putting one foot in front of the other? I'm a 26-year-old widow, and I don't have my mom. And one of the things I started doing after my husband passed away was I started writing. And sometimes people will say, well, was that healing to you? Well, no, I didn't set out to start writing as a way to heal myself. It was a way to earn extra money. I needed a side hustle. You can only work as a therapist so many hours a week, and now that I was down to just one income, I needed to be able to earn some money. And so A few years down the road, I wrote an article called 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do. It went viral. 50 million people read the article, and that led to my first book, also called 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do.
And I tell you what, you have been, I know, revolutionizing, if you will, the way people think and the way people respond to pain, the way people respond to life in general. It's amazing. And you mentioned that your husband died when you were 26 years old. And if I remember correctly, your mother had died just 3 years prior.
Yeah. And, you know, both of them had passed away suddenly and unexpectedly. Both of them were healthy people. My mother had a brain aneurysm, so she was here 1 minute and gone the next. And then my 26-year-old husband died of a heart attack. He didn't have any history of heart problems. Doctors now think he probably had some sort of a birth defect that he was born with, and we just never knew it. But to lose two people in really sudden and unexpected circumstances was sort of mind-boggling, you know, after thinking, how can somebody be here in front of me 1 minute and life is going great, and then in an instant, everything changed.
Everything changed. And one of the things, Amy, that a lot of people are beginning to realize is that when we have lost a loved one, that there are anniversary dates that come around. There are significant dates, I should say, that come around that can make it even harder to deal in the moment anyway. And for you, when you lost your husband, whom you truly loved, he wasn't just a man who you shared a house with. You truly loved each other. And when he died on the anniversary date of your mother's death?
Yeah, it was this three-year anniversary of when my mother had passed away. And so he and I were talking about what are we going to do on this day and how to sort of honor her memory. And that was where our focus was at. And so the fact that later that night he said, I don't feel well, and collapsed, and I had to call for an ambulance. And it was, you know, just so remarkable that it happened on that day of all days. And, you know, and people will say to me, well, are you superstitious? Is it something about that day? No, I don't believe that. I believe things do happen for a reason. But if I were superstitious, I probably wouldn't have written a book about 13 things. I wouldn't have taken the number 13 into account. But it definitely shaped the way that my life turned out, just knowing that never take anything for granted in life and to just enjoy every moment to the fullest while you can.
I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I really appreciate Amy for having shared that with us, because she really has laid a powerful foundation. As she and I continue to talk, you'll know that you're listening to a lady who can relate to your losses because she's experienced her own. Amy, I tell you what, I really admire you for having made the decision that you were not going to let your losses really just cause you to check out of life, but you were going to make sure that you put into practice what you've been teaching other people. I mean, where the rubber really met the road, you were going to see how this works in real life, in real time.
Yeah, absolutely. It was one of those, okay, as a social worker, I was so used to building on people's strengths and making sure that they kept up the good work that they were doing. And when I was going through my own grief, I realized that that was important, but I also realized sometimes it only takes one or two bad habits to hold you back. And that's really where I started thinking, you know, okay, if I do these things that mentally strong people don't do, I'm going to stay stuck. And that's really when it occurred to me, just like if somebody wanted to build physical strength, you need good habits like going to the gym, but you also have to give up bad habits like eating too much junk food if you really wanted to see this progress. And so I thought, you know, mental strength's like the same thing. You need lots of good habits in life, but if you want to work smarter and not just harder, sometimes you just have to give up some of those bad habits. And even when people aren't necessarily going through grief or something like that, also, we all go through challenges in life, whether you're struggling to lose weight or you're struggling to get up and go to work every day because you don't like your job, or no matter what it is, we all face struggles. And building mental muscle is the key to saying, how do you go through those things and turn your struggles into strength? And how do you become better from going through those things? And I can now say firsthand, I know that it's possible to do that, but it takes a lot of work.
Takes a lot of work. So what are one of the tips you would share with us? I know that the focus is 13 things that mentally strong people don't do. But if it's okay, if you could share with us both sides of that, a tip on what we don't do and its opposite, what we actually do.
Sure. So the first one on my list is that mentally strong people don't feel sorry for themselves. And, you know, what a lot of people don't know is when I sat down and I wrote my list of the 13 things mentally strong people don't do, it was a letter to myself. I had a few years down the road, I had gotten remarried, and my future father, or my current father-in-law, was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And I was thinking, gosh, I can't go through this all over again, and why do I have to keep losing my loved ones? But at some point in the midst of my pity party, I said, no, mentally strong people don't feel sorry for themselves. Because I'd learned over the years that when you feel sorry for yourself, it keeps you stuck. You keep dwelling on the problem, and you sort of dig in your heels and say, well, I can't help this. This is terrible. My life is awful. And you magnify your misfortune. And so really the solution to getting rid of self-pity is gratitude. When you start to be grateful for the things in your life, no matter how small they might be, if you say, you know, I'm grateful it's the sun is shining, or I'm grateful that there's rain today because it's watering the flowers, or I'm grateful for the people I have in my life or the things I can do, that can change everything. And it helps you to just look for the good in life, because it becomes so easy sometimes just to dwell on all the bad things that are going on. And today, in the state of our world, you turn on the news and there's tons of bad news, and it just becomes overwhelming, and it's easy to start thinking, the world is terrible, my life is awful, and nobody cares. But thinking that way won't inspire you to go out and do anything different. But when you choose gratitude, you can go out and do incredible things, because you'll feel like, okay, I can make a difference, and I'm thankful for what I have, and just grateful for all the things that are out there. You start to notice the good in the world.
That is such a powerful truth. And as you were talking, Amy, I thought about a couple of things. One, when it comes to the self-pity thing, which is something that I kind of made foreign to my life, you know, since teen years. But I've noticed that those times when I have sunk even momentarily into self-pity, it seemed like it drained me of my energy, my energy. And on the other hand, when I focused, like you said, on gratitude, it seemed like I became lighter and more energized.
That's just it. You know, if you want to change the way that your life is headed, to change a couple of things. Number one is change the way that you think. And just thinking about things a little bit differently will change everything. It changes the way you feel, and it also changes the way you behave. If you say, my life is awful and horrible and there's nothing I can do about it, you won't go out there and make positive changes, and then it becomes this sort of self-fulfilling prophecy where you stay stuck. But if you can notice the good in the world, then you'll realize, hey, I can make a difference, or I could do this and I can do that to make my life better. As a therapist, I run into a lot of people who end up being stuck. As they say, I can't get a job, but then they feel sorry for themselves, so they say, well, there's no use in trying to apply for more jobs because I won't get a job anyway. And, well, no, you're not going to get a job if you don't go out there and take action. But I run into a lot of people who get stuck in that negative cycle, and really gratitude's the solution to flipping the switch and turning the corner and saying, how do I get out of this negative cycle?
Ladies and gentlemen, our awesome guest, yours and mine, is Miss Amy Morin. She's sharing some powerful principles with us from her book, 13 Things That Mentally Strong People Don't Do. Stay with us, parents, because there's going to be something specifically for you as parents as well in the next half hour. Stay with us, though, because coming up, we're going to continue to speak more generally about what's going to be beneficial to us as people. Our guest, Ms. Amy Morin, and I will return in just a few.